Hold on. Never know. For those of you who came with your kids, I want to acknowledge, I know that would be very hard for you to do much for helping the whole setup, but I want to thank you guys for coming. Thank you for bringing your kids and being a part of it, for showing up. Your presence was so blessed to the church family and to the community. And just love seeing you guys fellowship, love fellowshipping with you. Me and Jenna were talking. We said last year we spent a lot of time preaching and talking about community and how do we do this thing, community. And we probably sounded like dead records talking about community. And I said for the first time, it really just feels like we are a community. And I don't feel like we're striving as much anymore. That we really are becoming what we always wanted. And the affection that me and Jenna feel for you as a body just increases every day, every week. And I just thank you for being a part of our family. Thank you for being the crucial part that we need. I know it's been a few rough couple months for some of you. I know there's some things going on in our church family that have been hard. And I was thinking as I was sitting up there worshiping, I was thinking when my mom was battling cancer, one of her favorite songs is called Yet I Will Praise. And the whole idea of the song is Yet I Will Praise the Lord. And the whole song is in this moment when this happens, when I'm going through this, and it's pretty much declaring this is hard, I'm struggling here, and yet it always comes back to Yet I Will Praise the Lord, even in the darkest. And so your family's here for you. For each of you that are struggling, your family here loves you. And let's just open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you. You are good. You are good, good Father. You have been faithful. You are all that we need. And Father, I pray over my church family that your presence, that your wisdom would just flow through each and every individual, Father, with things that are past, things that are current, things that are to come, Father. We thank you that you are our Savior, you are our Lord, and there is nothing that you do not see. Today we are grateful, Lord. Despite all the hard, despite the difficult, Father, we are grateful because you are faithful. And we love you, and we just give you this day as we settle our hearts on you. As we look to you in the next few moments, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. In your name, amen. I don't know why I'm like this. I actually am not generally a rebel when it comes to life. I'm a rule follower by nature. I'm not typically a rebellious type. But when I get put on the preaching routine and I fall on a holiday, I always resent having to preach about that holiday because it feels like it takes away the spirit's leading. It's like, well, I gotta preach about Christmas. I gotta preach about Easter or whatever. And also, the reality is that's why we set those days apart, so we can focus on them. So it's not a bad thing, but I naturally want to resist and say I'm going to preach something completely different, but then I'm still not following the Spirit's leading. So it is rebellion. But no, actually, uniquely about Thanksgiving is one that I actually like getting to preach before Thanksgiving week. Because years ago, actually, we used to host Thanksgiving for my extended family and some friends. We usually invited people that had no place to go. My mom was really big on, okay, I know a couple. They have no family. They've all passed. Invite them. This person is on the streets. Invite them. And we always had the Siegel family and a hodgepodge of people that didn't know each other of all sorts of ages. And my dad one year was like, we had everyone there. And he's like, that morning of Thanksgiving, I want you to share something about Thanksgiving and, you know, not a message, but just something from your heart, from Scripture. And I was like, on the spot. Well, he gave me a passage of Scripture that I shared, and this is probably over 12 years ago. But ever since, I have probably only a handful of times gotten to preach here the week before Thanksgiving because it's always random who's going to fall on each holiday. And it seems like every time it's happened that God has actually given me somewhat of the same message. And actually, most of you probably don't even remember it because we don't remember generally from year to year what we preached. But it's very familiar and similar to ones I've probably preached in the past. And I said, well, Lord, maybe there's something about this that every time it brings back to my heart the remembrance of what you want to speak here. So if it sounds familiar, it probably is. And not exactly a full Thanksgiving message, but it's just one of gratitude because our God is faithful. And that's kind of one of the focus this morning. I hope that it encourages you, challenges you to lay aside what's coming this week, all the plans, all the travel, and let's just spend the next few moments focused on Him. I want you to open up to 1 Samuel 7, and that's going to be our primary text this morning. And we're just going to read through probably verse 12 and probably cut it off there. So read it with me, the story of a Samuel. And actually, we're going to start in verse 1 in chapter 7. Just kind of follow along with me. So the men of Kirath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kirath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Asherahs and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Asherahs and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and he sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Another translation says, thus far God has been faithful. And so the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. We're going to stop there. I have read this before and I love it. Now, the reality of this passage is that probably by the time the message is over, most of you will have forgotten where it happened and really all the details about it. You may have even forgot about Samuel. Or even if it was the Amalekites or the Philistines or whoever it was. What you need to focus on this morning is it really doesn't matter the enemy. It really doesn't matter where it happened, and it doesn't even matter in what sequence of events happened in the sense of history. What I want you to focus on is verse 12, is that this story falls in alignment with hundreds of thousands of other stories very similar. This came after the book of Judges, where God had risen up a leader, a judge who would come and set the people free. They'd cry out to God. They turned from God. God would hear their cry. He would raise up a leader, another name, another people, another generation. This is just a repetition. So it's not really important that you remember all those details. What you do need to remember is the moment of what Samuel did after. Because this is a good representation of really our own lives, because for you and me, we are just another generation. We are just another lineup in the faith of the halls of history, the hall of faith. And so for most of our culture, they will never know us, right? Everyday life, we are going through things. We are experiencing battles. We are experiencing life, and God is working through those things. The only one thing that remains the same is God. Samuel is no longer here. The Philistines as a people really no longer exist. That location probably today is called something else. It is another thing in history to remember. But I want you to remember what Samuel did in that moment. It was an action that we see a lot in the Old Testament. I couldn't actually find this week. Didn't get to spend a lot of time looking for how many times this happened, but it said at least over 50 times that the people of Israel erected altars or a monument to God. And some of them God told them to do, other times the people did it out of their own intuition to say, this is a moment I want to remember. Ebenezer actually means the stone of help. So if you're like, that is actually what it means, is the stone of help. And it's important because this was so necessary that God often said, call this place such and such, raise up an altar to remember what has been done here. Why? because we are prone to forget. Every one of us are prone to forget the goodness of God and the things that he has done. And so the people would often actually take literal stones and erect something to remind them that every time they saw that altar, God was there. God showed up at this moment. It happened to the point that when they crossed the Jordan River, when they were done, they set up an altar to remind themselves, God parted these waters for us. Remember Jacob, as he had a dream, he woke up because God had given him a dream about certain things that would happen in his life, and he didn't want to forget, and so Jacob made a monument there and said, God was here. This is the place where God spoke to me. So every time he traveled through there, he would remember that spot that God had done something in my life and had led me to this point. The reason I'm reminded of this is me and Jenna have constantly been told from loved ones, and especially on her side, that I love, but we have not done a good job of, is keep a faith file. Really, a simple question for you and for me is, in all the things God has done for us, is that something that we are inclined to do, is to bring about reminders for the things that God has done? And a few things I was thinking of, one, what she said, is that Jenna is currently editing this book that this couple, who are now in their 80s, their entire life's work or life's living has been put into this page, and Jenna's editing it for them. And to me, it'll be a reminder to their kids. The purpose of it, as they said, that we're 80, we're just now having some grandkids that are newborn, and they're never going to remember us, and I want them to know where they came from. I want them to know how I prayed for them. I want them to know what we hoped for them, what we poured into their parents, why things are the way they are, where their roots came from. We want them to remember that. And for that'll be a living thing. My grandpa, while he was still alive, wrote a book called But God, and he gave it to every one of the family so we can hear how his journey to meet my grandma, what they did, how they bought the farm that I'm now living at, which is just, it's an awesome God story. But it'll forever be a reminder of what God did. And it's full of the hard, it's full of the good, it's full of the loss, it's full of the victory. But it is a constant reminder that every time I wonder where I came from, I can look back at that book because my grandpa wrote it for us. On our walls, if you've come to our house, you will see, because of the generosity and kindness of my wife that likes to use my photography, she doesn't have to, but she puts up different wildlife pictures that I've taken. Now, those are not a monument particularly to anything supernatural, but it is a gift of God that every time I look at those pictures, I can go to each one and say, I can tell you where I was at, I can tell you where I saw it, I can tell you what I felt. I can tell you who was with me in that moment and what it felt like to take those pictures. And some of them are over 7 years old, and yet I still remember where I was when I took them. They are a constant reminder, and I remember where I was at and what that week looked like. I think there was one more I had here. Oh, I was telling Jenna yesterday, I said that before I married her, I used to get up a lot earlier. She doesn't let me get up as early as I used to, and I don't think my body could handle getting up at 1, 2, or 3 a.m., but I used to do that, and every morning I get up, and I just felt awful. I'm like, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get up this early. It's cold outside. It's dark. I want to be sleeping, and I started really hating my attitude with it, and I said, Lord, I want to be grateful. I get to get up every day. I'm going to the same job I've had for 12 years, and God has always provided for my needs through this job. So I went out and one day found a little plaque that said, begin each morning with a grateful heart. So I put that on my bedside, and I would have to look at this every morning when I woke up. Did I always actually have a grateful heart? No, but every time I saw it, I was brought back to why I purchased it, to remind me that I had a job to go to. And every day I would try. I'd get in the car, finally wake up a little bit, and I would say, Lord, thank you for my job. I'm not feeling grateful. I'm not feeling happy to be up, and I know I'll be better as I go about the day, but in this moment I'm tired, but thank you. And so I still have that in our house. It's not at my bedside. Thankfully, I get up a little bit later now, so it's not as hard. But these are small things that have reminded me or reminded us of where we were when God did something in our life and blessed us in a certain way. Because I'm very prone to forget it. My mom and dad did so much for us when I didn't even know it, when I was 1, 2, and even when I wasn't born, just as every parent in this room has done so much for your kids that they will never know. And the only reason I know the half of it is because I'm now a new dad who knows what sacrifice looks like to not get a full night's sleep for so long. I understand of the sacrifices financially for a child, and when I put my wants and needs away for my son who wants to play when I get off work. I want to go to bed, I want to take a shower, he wants to play, and that's a sacrifice. The same sacrifice that Jenna gives all day while I'm at work and throughout each moment, it is exhausting. And yet I now have learned that that's exactly what my parents did for me. And yet I don't remember those moments. And the reality is that is exactly what God has done for you and me. And we know it even less because God generally works through the people in our life. So God is so active in our life that most of it we can't even pinpoint that it is God at work because he uses hands and feet of us. And the reality is that I'm not often aware of that. It takes Thanksgiving to bring me back to, well, let me get out that list of things that I think God did for me, and maybe I can pinpoint one or two. If I'm honest, I wouldn't make it through this year without God. I couldn't make it through a day without God. God was very clear to the people. He said, write it on the doorpost. Write it in your house. Read it daily to your kids. What happened to the generations when the thing of remembrance was forgotten? Remember how God said, remember, 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 remember. And as long as the people remembered, they passed it down. And as long as they passed it down, that society thrived as they followed God. The families were strong. And when they forgot, when they failed to pass along, they forgot. And when they forgot, they turned from God. And when they turned from God, society broke apart. God was always clear what would happen when you forgot, and he would raise someone up to remind the people, this is where I was. Here's another story. Samuel, the people, it just says the people returned to God. This is a normal thing. It's the tail end. The people had fled from God. They had walked away. Now they came back and they said, Samuel, we're not going to make it through it. Cry out to God on our behalf. When God came through for the people, as he always did, Samuel cried out to him and said, that this place is the place of Ebenezer. You are the rock of help. You have been faithful, even in the darkest times. Monuments, I think, are important. We do live in a time where, so America has always been really big on monuments. We have statues in different states and capitals. We have a lot over in Washington, D.C. And I love that because I like history. And generally when I see the statues, when I walk into one, I generally think of all the things that I know about that person. That's what it's supposed to do, is to lead you to remember a time in history where they existed. See George Washington, think of the first president, I think of him crossing the Delaware, I think of the cold winter that he stuck with it, the time that he gave over power so that the next leadership could come in and didn't become a tyrant. Just different things like that. You know, I think of the Christopher Columbus statue, I think of the three ships. I think of exploration, of coming to the new country. All of these things were meant to be a reminder and to remind us of something that happened in history. And we're doing a pretty good job of erasing that by destroying anything in our path so we don't remember where we came from. That's the beauty of America, is in all of our faults and all of our failures, we get to look back and see where we came from and realize that there's some wonderful people that started this country. In all of their failings and all of their humanity, there's so much to learn from history and to understand what we are holding and preserving, hopefully, for the next generation. An opportunity for freedom, an opportunity to worship freely. It's a gift. I don't have much more here, but I want to go to Psalm 77 and read that, if you go with me. See if this sounds familiar to you, or if this is ever happened in your way of thinking, but I just want to read it. It's only 20 short verses, so just read this with me. It says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered the songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? And then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all of your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. How many of you this year at least once were in that first portion of scripture? I thought God had forgotten his promises. God had not heard me. God had not shown his love in the way that we thought he should. I was. It wasn't even a few months ago that Jenna was bringing me back to the truth of who God was in a tight spot. And I said, I know that's true, but I don't feel it right now. And I really don't want to declare that truth because I'm feeling that God is not fulfilling what he promised me, or he has not been faithful in this area. And I can openly admit that that's how I felt. And that's what I told Jenna. And then I had to humble myself later and be like, God, that is not what's truly in my heart. That is not the truth of who you are. But it's how I'm feeling in this moment. And I like how the psalmist is just honest. God, I didn't think you were there. God, I didn't think you were going to fulfill it. God, I wondered if your compassion had run out. And he says, but no. I will declare the truth of who you are. And I love how it says it was seen even though your footsteps weren't seen. Almost all of our lives, the way that God is going to work in us is not going to be obvious that it's God, because he works through what he's given us in family and friends and in a church. That is God working in our lives. His footsteps may not be seen, but his handprint is all around it. And I love that the psalmist, no matter who it is that's writing the particular psalm, often has, and me and Jenna talked about that a few months ago, it is a roller coaster of emotion of, my enemies are all around me. You have conquered. You are victorious. I am failing. It's all over. You have won the victory. All these things. But he always comes back to the truth of who God is, even in the moment of not feeling it. And I think that that's going to be key. And I love what he says here. I want to close in a little bit, but I wanted to do something a little different this morning, and Jenna's already given me the eye of laughing at me because I hate testimony time. Anybody else hate testimony time? Okay, I'm the only honest one in here. You know why I know? Because when we have testimony time, two people say something and then Nick calls on everyone else. It's hard. Testimony time's hard because you put on the spot, you have to be vulnerable, you want to share, so, and you also go into the whole lineup of, well, that's not very big. Well, I'm not sure if that was God. Well, that's a little small compared to a really big thing. We also put it on the scale of value. And yet, I will declare the praises of God. And I'm not good at that because I promise you guys, next time someone says testimony time, I'm probably not going to be the first one to throw something out there. But I really prayed about it and felt as we near the end of 2024, the reason why we can go forward in whatever next year holds is simply what the song that Ray had was, I will look up and I will look back. I will look back to see you are faithful. I'll look ahead knowing you're able. Why? Because I look back and there's never been a time that God has failed me. There's been a lot of times God did not come through for the way that I wanted, but he always came through. And I look back and it doesn't all make sense, but a lot of it I have settled in my heart, as Nick preached, that God had his hand on it. Not every time that I needed financial help did it come through the way that I had planned, but God always helped me to be able to get to where I needed to be to provide. He has always come through. So I know that in 2025, there's probably going to be funerals that I attend that I do not expect. There will be weddings that I attend that may be a surprise. There may be babies born that is all surprising to me through different loved ones. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I also don't know what the coming year, but I know that I can confidently step into it because I can declare the truth of who God is. And there's something beautiful to hear it from one another that God has done something in your life. And I imagine that if I were to go down the row, everyone here should be able to at least point to one thing. I'm not going to do that, but I will ask that you don't weigh the value of what you think God has done in your life as small or big. Jenna told me that while she was working, when she was younger, in her early 20s, I think, that she didn't have a lot of money while she worked at the ranch, which is where I pretty much met her from, and you could buy tea. just drinking tea, and she didn't even have the money for that, and somebody had set aside money, and they had given this tea the exact brand that Jenna really liked but couldn't afford, and Jenna was able to have this tea for free, and she said, that seems so small, and I wouldn't want to tell someone that because it doesn't seem like a big deal. She's like, but in the moment, it felt like God had heard, she said, a kiss from heaven, that God even cared about the tea bag that I really wanted. And so I don't want you to downplay this. I want to take a few moments for us to be able to declare the goodness of God. And I don't want you to hesitate. If something's in your heart, share it with us. It's a time of rejoicing, a time to celebrate what God has done. So who wants to start us off? Okay, Linda.
So I did feel like I was supposed to share this regardless, and it is a Thanksgiving. So this morning I got to, before I came to church, go visit my granny, 95 years old. And then tonight I get to have my granddaughter. We're going to be in the same house. But it's all about me, right? But I feel like the Lord is really wanting us to see this generational thing that you mentioned. It really has nothing to do with us. It's about His story being revealed in my granny's life, who's been here for 95 years, and what God's going to do in Eliza's life that I probably won't be here at the end of Eliza's life. But it's really not about my bloodline or my legacy. It's about His story being revealed for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy. But it is a great Thanksgiving to have grandma and granddaughter.
Absolutely. What's God done for you? What did He teach you this year? Something that He came through and revealed to you that you've been seeking or asking? It's hard, isn't it?
He's revealing, and we're walking a step, walking a path. Our youngest got married in April without our knowledge. And so, let it out there so everybody knows. Blessing, but also a thing that hurts. The faithfulness comes in, though, is because they know what God is going to do. That God is going to use this for His glory, that God is going to work it around and make it a joyful situation. And we praise God for that. Because we know what the end is. We know where we're at. We know where it's going. And we just have to walk that line. And we praise God that He is going to reveal, and He is going to correct, and He is going to deal.
Dr. Scott, we're with you guys.
That's what I said.
Appreciate you sharing.
Anybody else? Yes, Shelley. Amen. The biggest lie that Satan will tell you is that you are uniquely alone, or you're the only one going through something. And that's partly why we do this, is because every single person here, we could take the net worth of the highest earner here and the net worth of the lowest earner and realize it doesn't matter, because we all suffer in different ways and all at different times feel absolutely helpless. We all face it. Anybody else?
An oldie but a goodie. Ty was a baby. We moved into our house. And he had a... I'll try to takes him to the doctor, and we're praying all weekend. I remember being stressed. I think it was around this time. It was around Christmas because I was going to the Christmas party at work, and everybody was having all this fun, and I was just stressed. And there's a physical knot you could see on the back of his head, and it'd been there for a while. I don't know how to explain it. Anyway, so she goes to the doctor, and she comes back, and it was Monday. We've gone through the weekend, all the stress, and Monday she calls me. I said, "What was going on with the doctor?" She said, "Actually, it's a blessing. It's nothing. He just has a swollen lymph node or something. It's probably infected." And we started to be like grateful, thankful that it wasn't some tumor or something in the back of his head.
Mm.
And right then, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "We will not celebrate the lesser. Like, we are not going to pray that it's not cancer. We'll be okay with, we serve a God who's a healer." And we just said, we don't receive a swollen milk node the more than we receive a tumor of cancer. And I'm not kidding you, the next day, it was gone.
I just encourage you guys to be willing to share your burdens with one another in this family. You know, Jenna said yesterday, she said, "I love when people tell me that their week sucked." She said, "Because I know I'm not alone. Also, I love knowing that there's other humans in our family that walk the hard week. I just love hearing about it. And also, it helps me to pray. As I don't know about all that's going on in this room, but I know that there are those of you that struggle, and I can see it. I can sense it. And it's just my heart's been overwhelmed with prayer for you, and knowing those things help to direct my prayers. Place of vulnerability is a good place, whether it's a victory or a difficulty. We need to carry one another's burdens. That's what we're here for, to lift each other up. A few more. Almost a whole year has passed, so we got plenty. First Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He has set us apart to declare the goodness of him. And if we don't, creation does. But God would much rather have you and me do it. I don't want to take an opportunity for anyone, so anybody else have anything, like, share? And we're going to close with something. Yes?
A few weeks ago at work, I was having a frustrating week. And I started getting pain in my foot. And it was out of the normal. Like, every time I took a step, it was like a stake was running through my foot. And this went on for about 3 days. And then the one coworker come in, and he said, "My foot's hurting," and he actually took his shoe off and showed me where it hurt, and it was the same spot mine did. And it clicked with me that Jesus had a stake run through his feet, and he was beaten for me, and I'm complaining about my foot. And he took everything for me, and the moment I did that, my pain went away in my foot.
There's the line.
So it's just, it reminds us to take your eyes off me.
Absolutely. Could you get the worship team to come up? Lamentations 3, if you've ever read it, generally you're only going to see a couple verses in there, and they are the ones I want to share. But if you actually read the whole chapter, it's a kind of a painful chapter. It's not very positive, a lot of negative. This is a man named Jeremiah who is I just call it, he is the man who has to preach about the suck of life. And that's what this chapter is. The majority of it just kind of sucks. And in the midst of it, he comes down. And again, this is a man who had to preach to a stubborn people who had had plenty of opportunity to turn to the Lord. God's already said they're not going to really turn to me, but go ahead and preach anyway. And the people didn't believe him, and they put him in a pit. Eventually, he was carried away, punished in many ways just simply for preaching the truth to save the people that would not listen. I mean, this guy's job stunk. And yet in the midst of Lamentations 3, knowing all of this to be true, he says that, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Your compassions, they fail not. Great is your faithfulness. We always sing about it, which is what we're going to close today with. But I want you to also consider that Jeremiah is writing this in the midst of the suck. And so for those of you who are feeling that right now you're in the midst of that, it is still something you can declare to be true, because the whole point of today is we look back and realize even in the times that I didn't feel it, God was faithful. And I know that no matter what this year brings for our church family, for our individual families, God's got it. And it may not look like what we expect, but he is faithful. So as we close out this morning, as we press into the coming week where we're all going different directions and it's all going to look different, let this be the top of your mind, that great is his faithfulness no matter what. So let's sing it together.